Join Ligonier Ministries in early August 2017 as we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. Ligonier Teaching Fellows Drs. Robert Godfrey and Stephen Nichols will lead us on a Martin Luther and Elbe River Reformation study tour and cruise. We will make stops in Melnick, Little Maurice, Saxon, Dresden, Meissen, Wittenberg, and Dessau while studying Luther's impact on the Reformation. Pre-tour options include teaching and sightseeing for 3 days in Prague. Our post-cruise tour includes stops in Eisleben, Erfurt, and Eisenach, allowing for further study on Luther's life. Call Sovereign Cruises at 877-661-6458, extension 100. That's 877-661-6458, extension 100. Or visit the event tab at Ligonier.org for more information. Space fills quickly, so call now to reserve your spot. Today on Renewing Your Mind, one leper expresses thanks and teaches a profound lesson.
See, beloved, it's one thing to be grateful. It's something altogether to show it, to manifest it, to do gratitude. Feeling and doing are not the same thing.
When that one leper returned, Jesus famously said, "Where are the other nine?" This story from the Gospel of Luke is our focus today here on Renewing Your Mind as Dr. R.C. Sproul preaches from the pulpit of St. Andrew's Chapel. It's part of a series from the Gospel of Luke. Dr. Sproul is teaching passage by passage, breaking down the larger concepts and making the spiritual applications easy for us to grasp. At the end of the program today, I'll share with you how you can obtain a copy of one of Dr. Sproul's biblical commentaries, a tool that we believe will help you greatly in your own Bible study. For now, though, let's continue in our study of the Gospel of Luke with Dr. R.C. Sproul.
Let's get on with the text, which is today, chapter 17. And I'm reading from verse 11 to 19. I would ask the congregation please to stand for the reading of the Word of God. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And so when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Beloved, this is a precious text that has a negative aspect to it. But before we come to that, the positive dimension of this passage is simply marvelous. And I hope that we will see the beauty and truth of this text in our time together this morning. Please be seated. Let us pray. Again, our Father and our God, without you we have nothing. And yet all that we have that is good has come to us from your hand. Help us now to understand the depth and the riches of this passage that we've just heard. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke begins this passage by telling us of an event that took place when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He tells us that on his travels, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now, that in itself was unusual. We know that the scriptures teach us that there was this hostile relationship between Jews and Samaritans. And the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. And the hostility was so deeply rooted that characteristically the Jews, when they wanted to go from Judea up to Galilee, instead of going the shortest route, which would take them directly through Samaria, they crossed the Jordan to Transjordan and went up the desert road, bypassing Samaria to get to Galilee, and the same coming back. They would go out of their way to avoid going through Samaria. But Jesus went against that convention and decided to go directly through Samaria. And we read in verse 12, as he entered a certain village, he met 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. Now we know, of course, that once you had been diagnosed with leprosy in ancient Israel, you suffered the worst of all possible kinds of quarantines. Not a quarantine that would last a week or were 2 weeks, but it would be a quarantine that would last for the rest of your life unless by some marvelous means you were cured of that leprosy. You were sentenced to a solitary life, removed from the community, removed from your family, removed from the religious institutions of your day. You were a social pariah. And the only fellowship that you could have with other human beings would be with other lepers. And so there were reasons why lepers gathered together in groups such as this group of 10, because that was the only companionship that they could possibly enjoy. And here in this area on the border between Galilee and Samaria, there was a road there, a commercial highway that brought people from different nations, not just Jews and Samaritans, but an international group of people. And so we know from this text that these 10 lepers were made up of at least people who were Jews and Samaritans, but also probably people from other countries. And this was, as I said, the only fellowship that they could enjoy was with other miserable human beings. And now, as they are outside the village and Jesus approached, while they were standing afar off, they lifted up their voices and said, they didn't just say it, they screamed it, because Jesus was at a distance. And so they shouted out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, the first question that should come to our mind is this: how did they even know who Jesus was? They didn't have cell phones, they didn't have radios or television, and they didn't have daily interaction with healthy people. So how did they even get the news of Jesus? Well, I think we can answer that easily. What Jesus did in Galilee, in Judea, and even in Samaria were things that the world had never seen before. There was a blaze of miracles that followed in the trail of Jesus. And that kind of ministry spread in terms of its news like wildfire through every inch of the territory. Maybe somebody came to the limits of communication to the lepers and shouted out to him, "There's a man named Jesus. He's raising people from the dead. He's making the blind see, the deaf hear, and the lame to walk and leap with joy. Watch for him. Maybe someday he'll come this way. Here's what he looks like. There's always a group following him. We call him Master. I don't know how they heard of him, but how could they not have heard of him, given who he was and what he was doing? And so the day they dreamed of, the day they prayed for, took place when in the distance, here he was. It's Jesus. You can hear them talking to each other. You can feel their excitement. Here he comes. He's here. Look over there. That's Jesus. He raises people from the dead. Maybe he can heal us. So they didn't whisper. They screamed, Jesus! Master! Have mercy on us. Now the response of Jesus here is quite unusual. On the other occasions where we see people who are afflicted and suffering coming up to him, Jesus will reach over and touch them and heal them, lay his hands upon them, or even in the moment just say, be clean, and instantly they were healed. That's not how he did it this time. And said when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. A citation from the book of Leviticus, where it was the priest who was authorized to make the diagnosis in the first place of leprosy. And if a person were recovering, or if it was a false diagnosis, it would take the priest's declaration to free them from the quarantine. So Jesus doesn't say, be clean, you're healed. He said, go see the priest. Which meant what? This is not an idle mission. It's not a fool's errand. If I tell you to go see the priest, I'm telling you to go check yourselves out, and you will be clean. Obviously, they hadn't been cleansed yet, but they obeyed, and they started to go to visit the priest in obedience to the command of Jesus. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Again, not when they just first saw Jesus, but after they started on their journey to see the priest, while they were walking along the road, all of a sudden, their fingers are becoming whole. Their toes are being healed. And the horrible sores on their body were vanishing. And one leper would say to the other, look at my hand. It's clean. And the other would say, mine too. It's happening. And they were beyond themselves with joy and excitement as their bodies were being cleansed with every step they took on their way to the priests. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. Imagine 10 lepers in a group watching each other suddenly being made whole. They can't wait to get to the priest because they know if they go to the priest and the priest pronounces them clean, then in that moment they can go home again. They can see their wives again. They can embrace their children again. They can go to church again. So they say, let's go, hurry up. And one says, wait a minute. We're clean, aren't we? Yes. It was Jesus who made us clean. We've got all day to see the priests. But first we have to go back and see him and thank him and honor him. The rest of the lepers says, we don't have time for that. And the first one, aren't you grateful? Grateful? How can you not be grateful? I'm sure all 10 of them were grateful. No question that they were grateful. You can't be healed of leprosy like that and not be grateful. Their hearts were filled with gratitude, but not so filled that they want a detour and have to go back to say thank you. See, beloved, it's one thing to be grateful. It's something altogether to show it, to manifest it, to do gratitude. Feeling and doing are not the same thing. That this man was steadfast, he said, fellows, we may never meet again. We spent all this time together in misery. I've enjoyed your company in misery, but you guys go ahead. I'm going back. And so, Luke tells us, he returned. And again, with a loud voice, not quietly, not subtly, not embarrassedly, not with a whisper, again, his voice is raised for what? To glorify God. You know, before I stepped up these steps, we had the offering, and when the offering is given, we accompany the offering with a song. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Do we mean that? This is what the essence of worship is to come and to offer to God the sacrifice of our praise. In the beginning of Romans, in the first chapter, Paul talks about the fact that God reveals himself from heaven to every human being in the world, and that his wrath is revealed against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men. And the reason why they are ungodly and unrighteous is they suppress the truth of God that he reveals to every man, leaving them without an excuse. And then he goes on to say, knowing God, they did not honor him as God, neither were they grateful. Now, the two sins, the primary sins, the most basic of all sins, the root of every other sin, those two sins for which every human being in his natural unconverted state is guilty of, are a refusal to honor God as God and ingratitude toward God. If I would say to you what your most base sin, your worst action of evil, would you come up with something like failure to be grateful to God? Hardly. But there it is in the scriptures, that this is our fundamental problem. We think that God owes us everything that we receive and much more. And if a person is truly grateful, he shows it. And he shows it in worship and in service to God. That's the part of this passage that I said is so precious. The response of the man who was healed. With a loud voice, he glorifies God, and he fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. And then, by the way, it says he was a Samaritan. a leper, strike one. A Samaritan, strike two. A social outcast, strike three. Who fell at the feet of Jesus to thank him. Now, there's nobody in this room this morning who at some time in his or her life has not suffered from spiritual leprosy. We are by nature lepers, and the God of all mercy and grace through his beloved Son has made us clean, if it be that we are in Christ Jesus. So we shouldn't need to eat Pringles in order to shout our thanksgiving to him or to fall at his feet in honor, adoration, and worship. This is why we're here. We've been made clean. And we come to give praise, and we come to give thanks. So Jesus answered and said, am I having a problem with my math? Did I not just heal 10? Where are they? Where are the other 9? Oh, sir, they're on the way to the priest like you told them. Yes, but you came back to say thank you. You came back to give honor. You came back to praise God. Where are the rest? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? He's speaking to the man, and the man's still on the ground. And now Jesus said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, this poor leper was really clean. Now he was really free to go. Now he could go on his way. He could see the priest, he could see his wife, he could see his kids, he could see his friends, he could see his rabbi, because the Lord Jesus Christ cleansed him. Do you see it? It's your story. It's my story. And it's God's story. How do you show your thanks to Christ? How do you give glory and honor to your Redeemer? That's what we're about. Saying thank you.
Dr. R.C. Sproul, with a sober reminder for us all that we are to be thankful people. You're listening to Renewing Your Mind. And on this weekend edition of the broadcast, we've continued our sermon series from the Gospel of Luke. One of Dr. Sproul's hallmarks is taking large, complex theological themes and making them easy to understand. If you have benefited from the study today, I'm sure you'll be blessed by the series of expositional commentaries written by Dr. Sproul. Today we're making available R.C.'s commentary on Romans. For a gift of any amount to Ligonier Ministries, we will be glad to send it your way. Our number is 800-435-4343, or you can give your gift online and place your order at renewingyourmind.org. Dr. Sproul says that the book of Romans is Paul's fullest, grandest, most comprehensive statement of the gospel. And R.C. spent more than 2 years preaching through Romans at St. Andrew's Chapel. All of the wealth of that study is in this expositional commentary. So request it with your gift of any amount when you contact us today. Again, our number is 800-435-4343. Or you can give your gift at renewingyourmind.org. The biblical teaching you're able to hear on Renewing Your Mind fills just a few minutes of your day. And so we'd like to remind you about RefNet, our 24-hour, 7-day-a-week internet Christian radio network. We are privileged to be able to feature Bible teaching from Dr. Sproul, along with many other faithful preachers and teachers. To listen to RefNet, you can visit us online at refnet.fm, or you can download the free RefNet app on your mobile device. Well, next weekend on Renewing Your Mind, Dr. Sproul's careful exposition of the Gospel of Luke continues, and we do hope you'll join us.